Chapter 11, Hanged Man.
"Well, this should be good,"
Varric said quietly. Fenris did not think anyone else heard. Llewellyn's mouth was a flat line, and after a moment, Solas bowed his head in what might have been a gesture of respect, but was certainly an effective way to avoid her eyes.
"The Inquisitor would like a word with him,"
Fenris remembered, and "I have been so long alone." Hawk groaned as he got to his feet. "Tell me someone's got an injury kit," he said. The Inquisitor's eyes flicked to him. Her sudden smile looked unfeigned.
"Hawk," she said, "they found you."
"Everyone's happy to see me today," said Hawk. "I have got to die and come back to life more often.
It certainly did amazing things for my popularity when I tried it,"
Llewellyn said. "Inquisitor," said Solas then. He was standing very straight. "A word." Llewellyn glanced at him and raised her eyebrows.
"If you have something to say," she said flatly, "then say it."
Solas's expression barely flickered, yet for a moment Fenris felt something akin to pity. "Very well," was all he said. "There is a rift beneath this city which requires your urgent attention." Llewellyn's expression hardened.
"I would have led with sorry, personally,"
Varric murmured. "It is guarded by a vengeance demon which you have sealed back into its lair, but not yet destroyed," Solas went on. "The magic which holds it open is complicated by the involvement of an elven artifact."
"You'll love this," Varric said,
"akin to the orb used by Corypheus. You must find a way to disentangle it from the rest of the spell before the rift can be sealed. An Arulan home will certainly be required, and I believe it will also be necessary to acquire a certain amulet in order to handle the forces involved safely. I happen to know of one such amulet in a burial complex on Sundermount." Llewellyn looked at him. Eventually, she said, in neutral tones,
"How?"
"I felt its presence," said Solas, "when I was exploring the Fade."
"Honestly, Inquisitor," Varric said, "what else did you think he was going to say?"
"Sundermount, Maker, there really is no rest for the wicked," said Hawk, and then groaned again. "Seriously, somebody give me an injury kit." Varric went to his side. Fenris sheathed his greatsword and sat down on the low, crumbling wall that was all that remained of the mansion's grand frontage. Aveline ran up to the group moments later, and Merrill, and several strangers who seemed to be Llewellyn's associates. Someone saw to Hawk's injuries. Llewellyn conversed seriously with a lean, sharp-faced human woman. At some point, Merrill fished out the orb, and every mage presence had to gather around it and talk over each other. Fenris sat on the ruined wall and tried not to think of anything very much. Hawk's arm was in a sling, and he was cracking jokes. Fenris did not need to be anywhere near him to know he was cracking jokes. His smiles alone were enough. Fenris's hands were marked with red lyrium up to the wrist, and fine threads of red were snaking up his forearms, like the poison spreading from an infected wound. The Inquisition had come to Kirkwall. They had come with soldiers skilled at demon hunting, with builders who clicked their tongues at the wreck of Hightown and calmly got to work, with wagons upon wagons of supplies. Vast queues formed in the gallows courtyard, while crates of foodstuffs were unloaded and efficiently distributed under the watchful eyes of smartly uniformed overseers. Patrols swept Lowtown in segments and declared street after street safe for the inhabitants to return. Looters and other such opportunists were swiftly dealt with. An infirmary with 3 mage healers and a surgeon was set up near the docks, and by the evening of the first day, a makeshift bazaar had already sprung into being just outside the city gates. The last time Fenris had seen Varric, he was helping mediate a conversation between a half-dozen aggressively well-dressed guild dwarves and a smiley, steel-eyed, and even aristocrat. Aveline had disappeared into meetings at the Viscount's Keep, where Llewellyn had based her vast entourage.
The captain had torn Meryl away from her apprentices to accompany her, insisting that her presence was necessary, and Hawk had tagged along as a matter of course. No one ever questioned Hawk sticking his nose into things. He was, Fenris supposed, the champion. Perhaps Fenris could have inserted himself into those meetings, too. He did not care to. He was no politician, and he had had more than enough experience of the halls of power. No doubt the mighty were deciding the fate of Kirkwall up there in the heights of the city. It was no concern of his. In the past, this would have been the time he excused himself and returned home, if you could call the mansion a home. That, at least, he would never do again. The mansion where he had spent so much time brooding on his wrongs was ruined beyond repair. The dark corridors he had paced for hours on end no longer existed. The room where he had slept, raged, and regularly drunk himself into a stupor had been flung open to sunlight and then demolished completely. It was an odd feeling. What Fenris really wanted, he decided, was a drink. Aveline's guards had left their base at the Hanged Man and returned to the barracks, but this part of Lowtown had not been cleared by the Inquisition forces yet. The taproom was empty of everything but shadows. Chairs and tables had been pushed against the walls. A guard had forgotten his helmet. It was sitting on the stairs. There was no sign of the barman. Fenris found a cleanish flagon and drew himself an ale. He reached into his belt pouch for a few coppers to leave on the bar. Among the small pile of coins that tipped into his palm was a plain gold ring. It was sized for a human woman's hand. Fenris could have worn it, if he wanted to. It shone in his palm, gold a stark contrast to the vivid streaks of red that now marked him to the wrist. It was slightly flattened on one side. Fenris touched the pad of his thumb to the spot and felt the delicate engraving. The Amel coat of arms. Hawk's family. A strange gift for a spirit to give. Dangerous in some way, no doubt. It did not feel magical, and Fenris could usually tell. If he had thought about it at all, he would have expected it to vanish when he left the Fade. Solas would no doubt find it interesting. Or Hawk might. Fenris nearly left it on the bar with the money. It was only a fleeting impulse that made him slide it back into his belt pouch. He did not let himself think about it further. He drained the first ale in three long gulps, easier not to taste it that way, and then got himself another and sat on a bench that had been shoved against the wall, near the cold hearth. He did not drink. He looked at the flagon in his hands for a while. Eventually, he admitted to himself that he was just looking at his hands. Red spider webs marked them. Even in this gloom, the color was bright. Loops of the stuff curled lovingly around his wrists. Denarius had occasionally displayed Fenris naked to interested associates, and had taken great pride in the aesthetic effect of his creation. Such an elegant design, fearsome but beautiful. What had Solas called it? An art related to rune crafting. Fenris took a swallow of the foul ale and hoped, viciously, that the red spoiled the effect. Varric had mentioned Grey Wardens. There were some among the Inquisition forces. It was a life that seemed to suit Hawk's brother. Perhaps he could live that way. He had always been a weapon. Why not a weapon against the Blight? The thought felt hollow. Fenris tipped his head back against the wall and closed his eyes. He had done what he set out to do. Hawk lived. Hawk lived. If a few hot tears leaked from the corners of his eyes, at least there was no one to see. Judgment would have been hard enough to bear, and sympathy worse. Fenris was a fool. Had he expected Hawk to fall into his arms? No, no, never. He had told the Desire Demon the truth. All he had wanted was to find Hawk alive. He had expected nothing more. Had not even really expected that. When you expect nothing, you could not be disappointed. But some damned, stupid, helpless corner of his heart, it seemed, had hoped.
Hawk had done him a favor all those months ago, walking away like that, with a handshake, a smile. He had saved Fenris from having to contemplate the wreck of his love, having to face it every day. Fenris scowled at himself and passed his hand across his eyes, too carelessly. The spike of his gauntlet caught against his cheek. He winced as he felt the cut. It was a hot, shallow pain, not enough to distract him from the bitter circle of his thoughts. After a moment, he buried his head in his hands. Life as a warden, throwing himself against a sea of darkness that would never end, or following Hawk forever into the dangers he could never stop facing, now, as long as he lived. Or else, Fenris thought with a wild kind of satisfaction, walking away. He had not lived so long, had not suffered so much, to end as a mage's bodyguard again. Surely he owed Hawk nothing more than he had already given. He could go back to the work he had been doing before. As long as there were slavers to hunt, he would not want for occupation. And if eventually the poison in his lyrium scars consumed him, let it, why not? And then a simpler path occurred to him. The demon was not dead. Solas had said as much. But Fenris had already known. He was irrationally certain that he would have felt its death. It had never been in Hightown, after all. Only its voice, its influence, reaching up from deep beneath the city, tearing at the veil. The Inquisition could mend as many rifts as it liked. Seal it, trap it, but that would not kill it. Its lair was down in the depths. He knew exactly where. He stood up before he even knew he had made the decision. It was, of course, a stupid decision. Varric would rail at it, Aveline would be appalled. Hawk? Never mind what Hawk would think. The demon belonged to Fenris. It understood him. It would have killed Hawk for him. Perhaps that made it his responsibility. But before he went any further, the door of the empty tavern banged open. It slammed against the wall and set off a shutter that dislodged several cobwebs. Fenris reached back over his shoulder for his greatsword. The figure in the doorway paused and looked up into the shower of spider silk and dead moths.
"Creators," said Meryl, as cobwebs settled in her hair. "I always forget that happens."
"Oh, it's you," Fenris said. He let his hand fall to his side. "Come seeking congratulations from the grateful citizenry of Kirkwall, Keeper. They are not here yet. No doubt it's only a matter of time."
"The Inquisition soldiers just cleared this part of the city. People will be back soon," Meryl said. "But I was looking for you, actually. I hoped you'd be here. Well, I thought you'd be. You do like to drink when you're upset. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I mean, it's probably not very good for you, but you're a grown man. You can do what you like. It's not my business. I should stop talking, shouldn't I?"
"You should never have started," Fenris said. "What do you want?"
"I brought you something," Meryl said. "I've been saving it for a special occasion."
She held up a dusty bottle of something pale-colored.
"It's quite strong," she said. "The Dalish brew it from Hallowmilk, and herbs. The herbs make it taste nice."
Fenris stared at her.
"Sometimes when we were playing cards in here in the evening, Isabella used to get up and leave," Meryl said, "to go drink with you. She used to say no one should get drunk all alone. I know I'm not her, and you don't like me as much as you like her, but she's not here. I thought maybe it was stupid, wasn't it? I'm sorry."
"You want to get drunk with me?" Fenris said incredulously.
"I've only ever drunk once," Meryl said. "It was quite interesting."
Grey Warden, Mage's Bodyguard, a slow suicide by Red Lyrium, or a quick one by Vengeance Demon. Or, Fenris considered, drunk. With that list of alternatives to choose from, Meryl's gift had a certain appeal. "Fine," he said.
Really?
Said Meryl. He took the bottle of Dalish brew out of her hand. "I said fine." Meryl's liquor was rich, sour, and strong.
Fenris had drunk worse. She tried to explain to him exactly how it was made, but kept stumbling over her own tongue and giving up in giggles. They were not even a quarter of the way down the bottle. Korf was back behind the bar now, and the fires were lit, and stray Kirkwallers were straggling back into the tavern. The hanged man was starting to look like itself again. Against all reason, it made Fenris feel more like himself again. It was not that anything had changed, or that the reasons for despair had shrunk, but they receded a little in the warm firelight, with the fiery taste of Dalish brew in the back of his throat, and the barmaids trying not to laugh at Merrill as she tried and failed to pay them compliments.
"I mean, it's a lovely bust," she said earnestly to the tired-looking girl who came to poke the fire,
and then blushed terribly. The girl snorted, but she was smiling.
"Master Tathras used to slip us some coin to cut her off," she murmured to Fenris,
while Merrill hid her face in confusion. "I know," Fenris said. He leaned back on his chair and took another swig from the bottle. It took almost no effort for his mind to fill in all the people who should have been there with them. Varric, of course, getting interrupted every few minutes by an admirer or informant. Isabella, with her wicked smile, flirting lazily with whoever was closest. Anders. Fenris could not claim he missed the mage, but he had had his place here. And there had been Aveline now and again, and Sebastian, nervous as if he expected his old self to take over at any moment, and Hawk, who, by the last year or so in Kirkwall, usually got a cheer when he walked through the door. Things had been not simple, not at all. All of them had brought their share of complications to the card table. Aveline and Isabella had sniped at each other. Varric had loathed Sebastian. Fenris and Anders had usually grimly ignored the other's presence, if only because everyone groaned when they started to argue. And on top of that, Fenris had spent plenty of time on those nights trying to stop himself staring at Hawk every time Hawk looked away, tangled up in a longing that he had not let himself examine too closely. Not simple, no. Still. Strange that Fenris had not noticed happiness when he had it. Merrill nudged his shoulder.
"It's all right," she said. "We saved him."
Merrill shrugged her off hard. "What makes you so sure I was thinking about Hawk?"
"You have a face when you do," Merrill said. Sorry, I shouldn't have said anything, should I? Sorry.
Fenris kept glaring at her, and then gave up and reached for the bottle instead. The hour was late, and the bottle almost empty, and both of them moderately tipsy by the time a shadow fell over their table.
"Oh!"
said Merrill. Fenris looked up into cool green eyes and a level expression. There was a pause. Then he raised his eyebrows. "A renegade slave, an alienage keeper, and a Dalish saint walk into a bar," he said. Llewellyn's cool expression cracked. She snorted.
"And the saint says, 'We are the last of the Elvenon. Never again shall we submit.'"
Fenris toasted her with the bottle. Merrill's giggle sounded unnaturally loud in what should have been a noisy taproom. Fenris glanced over his shoulder and realized that most of the humans drinking at the bar had fallen quiet and were staring at Llewellyn with strange expressions. Uncertain, fearful, hungry. Llewellyn looked too, winced, shrugged, and sat down at their table.
"We are the last of the Elvenon, and we could really use a drink," she said. "Please?"
After a moment, Fenris pushed the bottle towards her. Llewellyn looked surprised when she picked it up.
"Hallinan, this is for festivals," she said. "Where on earth did you find it?" "I was saving some," said Merrill. "You're supposed to drink it out of very small cups and pray to the creators before each sip," Llewellyn said.
Then she laughed, picked up the bottle, and tilted her head back to drain what was left.
"But rules change all the time," she said as she put the bottle down. It fell and rolled across the table.
I should know.
Fenris signaled to the barmaid for some ale. The girl was shaking slightly when she brought it over and refused to take the silver Llewellyn tried to give her. When Fenris tasted his, it was considerably better than the hanged man's usual slop. Corf had opened one of his good barrels. There are advantages to drinking with a saint, he said.
Don't. I mean it. Don't, said Llewellyn.
The conversations around the room were starting to pick up again, though she was still drawing plenty of attention. No doubt most of the people here were talking about her. There was a slight tightness to the way she sat, as if she were very aware of it. She had her back to most of the room. Fenris suspected it was so she did not have to look at those hungry faces. He remembered the first time he had seen her making her way through the eager crowd at Skyhold, nodding and smiling, stopping for no one. It could not be comfortable being holy.
So, she said after a moment, you found Hawk.
I did, said Fenris. Llewellyn considered him for a moment longer. Those eyes were just as sharp as they had been the morning he broke into her tower room.
I'm glad of it, she said finally. I prefer it when people get out alive.
Fenris nodded once. He had no doubt that Llewellyn could see the bitter confusion of his feelings all over his face. She was kind enough not to say anything. It was a relief when she turned that too observant look on Merrill.
Keeper,
she said.
Oh, I'm not, said Merrill. I'm not a keeper. I mean, they call me that here, but they don't really know what it means. I was supposed to be one day, but I'm not. I won't ever be. I mean, you know that. You were your clan's first, weren't you? Before you, well, I was,
Llewellyn said. She hesitated.
You probably don't remember me. We've met, said Merrill. I don't think we've met. I'm sure I would remember an Inquisitor. I mean, you're very memorable. Probably everyone remembers you.
It was at Arlothven,
Llewellyn said. I was 10.
There was an odd, strained note in her voice. Fenris looked between them. He saw the moment Merrill placed her, frown turning to wide-eyed enlightenment.
Oh, she said. Little Istari!
She looked at Llewellyn in some astonishment.
But you're... Has it really been that long?
You have been living in Kirkwall for almost a decade, Fenris said.
I suppose I have,
Merrill said dubiously. She looked at Llewellyn again.
I do remember you. Marathari had just made me her first, and she sent me to Keeper Istamithoriel for some training, and you followed me around for a whole week, didn't you? You were terribly sweet.
You were my hero,
Llewellyn said, like an accusation. Her expression was cold. Fenris winced.
Oh,
said Merrill. She swallowed.
Oh.
Now Llewellyn had started, she did not seem able to stop.
You were so clever and so talented. You knew so much of our history, and you studied so hard. You cared so much. Everyone always talked about getting our past back, but it always seemed to be just talk. Just the things you had to say if you were Dalish. But you made it sound real, like reclaiming our history was something we were actually going to do, that you were actually going to do. And soon, I wanted to be a part of it. I wanted to be just like you.
Merrill was staring at the table.
I'm sorry,
she said.
How could you do it?
Llewellyn said.
Your keeper, your clan, how could you do it?
Fenris should have been enjoying this. He was enjoying this, he told himself, but he could not make himself believe it. Merrill was hanging her head, her hair covering her eyes.
People hardly ever talk about it, she said. Humans don't care.
The clans care, Llewellyn said. I care.
I can't tell you something that makes it right, Merrill said.
I didn't ask for right, I asked for why.
Fenris caught the eye of a human man wearing an Androstian amulet who was approaching their table. He stared coldly at him until the man clearly thought better of it and went away. Meryl's hands were clenched in her lap. Llewellyn waited mercilessly. Her silence demanded an answer. He was enjoying this, Fenris told himself savagely. Mages should face judgment for their evil. No human would ever hold Meryl accountable for the murder of a Dalish clan. Let her look her own kind in the face and answer for it. It was only just.
And there must always be justice.
He flinched.
Keeper Marathari always taught me to be wary of spirits and demons, Meryl said quietly at last. She said they were dangerous, but she was wrong.
She looked up then.
She was wrong. Spirits are, well, they are dangerous. They can be dangerous, but mostly they just are. The Keeper said that they were untrustworthy, but she didn't understand them properly. They're not untrustworthy at all. They always do exactly what they're meant to. A hunger demon always wants to consume. A despair demon will try to make you despair. You can trust spirits to be what they are. They don't change. We change. And sometimes we change them. But they just exist. Once I learned that, I thought I could manage them. If you understand them, if you just know enough, you don't have to fear the beyond at all.
Pure arrogance, said Fenris, mostly to block out the distant whispering.
No, I mean, yes, I mean, I was right. We don't have to fear demons, Meryl said. But I didn't understand that we ought to fear ourselves. Everything I did for the clan. I was so sure I was right. I was so certain. That was the arrogance. You don't need a pride demon to be proud. I destroyed everything I cared about. Not because of magic or demons or anything like that. Just because of me. I chose badly. I thought I could do anything, and I was right, and I did the wrong thing, and other people paid for it. So that's why.
Llewellyn breathed out hard.
I'm sorry I wasn't a better hero, Meryl said. I'm so sorry, Istari.
Well, said Llewellyn at last.
That was honest, at least.
She took a gulp of her ale. An awkward silence reigned briefly over the table.
You too are a mage, Fenris said abruptly. One with power beyond anything Meryl has ever aspired to. You could make the same error just as easily with far worse consequences.
Oh, I know, said Llewellyn. Believe me, I know.
Listen, said Llewellyn before she left. I'm heading up Sundermount tomorrow.
I should probably come with you, said Meryl. I know the mountain. There's all sorts of angry corpses and things. And of Arturel.
Llewellyn nodded, but her eyes were on Fenris.
I was hoping you'd join us, she said.
I do not serve your Inquisition, said Fenris.
No, said Llewellyn. But apparently this ruin Solas mentioned is warded so only elves can get in, and I'm actually a little short on elves who can swing a greatsword. I need a warrior. If there's a Varterel, I definitely need a warrior. We have to get this amulet before we can fix the orb.
Your mage did not mention an amulet before, Fenris said.
Llewellyn sighed.
It's Solas, she said. He always knows more than he's saying. If he thinks we'll need an amulet, we probably need an amulet,
she added, with barely a pause.
And he's not mine. Will you come?
She could have said, you owe me. Fenris did, after all. She had set him on the path that led to Hawk's rescue. He met her eyes and saw that she knew it, and was choosing not to say it.
I will consider it, he said.
Llewellyn nodded.
I wanted to say, well done, on finding Hawk. I really didn't think it was possible.
Fenris said nothing.
The Inquisition can always use people who can get things done, she said. Something else to consider, maybe, once we sort out this mess.
Meryl remained subdued after Llewellyn left. When she went home, Fenris kept drinking without her. "A room, sirrah?" said Corf eventually. It was so late, it was early. Fenris could not afford the room, but he had no doubt Varric would pick up the tab, and if he attempted to go anywhere else right now, he was absolutely certain he would get jumped in the street. No alley gang would be able to resist the target presented by one drunk elf wandering at random and alone. Fenris had enough pride left that he did not want to wake in the morning stripped of his armor and thrown into a gutter, or surrounded by a pile of corpses, or both. The bed was hard and narrow. He crashed into it face down and fell immediately into fitful sleep. He dreamed of Hawk, consumed by demons, twisted against himself. The same dreams that had plagued Fenris ever since he first learned Hawk was trapped in the Fade. Unfair, he thought, in the brief periods of wakefulness that came between the dreadful dreams. It should have stopped. He had done all he could. It should have stopped. The sky was still dark when he woke for the third time and admitted to himself that sleep would not come again. He was only mildly hungover, which was better than he had been expecting. Half the headache might have come from the bad night's rest. He sat on the side of the bed and ran his hands through his hair. Sundermount. Sundermount with three mages. Joy of joys, he muttered out loud. It would at least put him well away from the sources of any stray whispers. As if he had summoned it by the thought, a voice murmured to him out of the dark.
But I am waiting, kinsman.
You are no kin of mine, demon, Fenris said, but nothing answered him. Water, he thought grimly. Water to wet his throat and splash on his face. Possibly a bucket of water to pour over his head. That would help. He opened the door and got no further. There was shouting coming from further down the grimy corridor. One of the raised voices was Hawk's.